This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
99.9 KISW. It's the Rock of Seattle, and you're listening to Metal Shop. Right now I don't have a band in studio. I have three people that are involved in Hierophant booking. They have been putting on some incredible shows, some shows that we've given away tickets to recently. We gave away some tickets to go see Necrot. They're going to be playing at Friday, July 12th. We'll get into all the upcoming shows, but first off, let's welcome Hierophant booking. Tell us what your name is and what you... I guess what you do in Hierophant booking? Do you guys all share the same task? I don't know. Anyways, we'll get into it. Zach, welcome. What's your name?
Hi, my name is Zach. And what do I do? We all kind of like share a lot of duties. But,
okay.
I chiefly like run the website and do kind of like design stuff.
Awesome.
And then you know, some of the tours and shows I'll take the lead on and put together. They'll do a lot of the flyers and stuff like that, but... You know, like I said, everyone kind of shares duties, if you want to elaborate on that.
Yeah, so my name is Abraham Merengue, and I am the CEO of Hierophant Booking, and yeah, so, you know, I'm the major player here, I'm the one that really is the mover and shaker.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the one that delivers the goods, so to say, and...
Your underlings do your bidding.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I got some good employees here, and they do a great job, and I delegate tasks to them, and we just, you know, we're the hot gig boys.
Hot gig boys.
We're delivering the hot gigs. No, seriously, my name's Adam Walker, and I'm kind of also like a general purpose person. I do a lot of the booking.
Yeah.
I am one of the primary tour bookers because we've expanded operations. Recently to be more of a touring service as
yeah.
well. So, but you know, our original intent was to be a Pacific Northwest specific promotions group. And yeah. And so I started it, in 2022.
Nice.
With, Dylan Desmond.
Yeah.
And
from Bellwitch.
Yep. And then Zach, joined on shortly after, and then
awesome.
Leah joined shortly thereafter.
Very cool.
And we've had this very solid core triumvirate of individuals
yeah.
since then.
Dylan is no longer doing stuff with us out of his own choice. He's kind of focusing on Bellwitch, which is understandable because they just had like a huge record.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're touring the world and just really taking off as far as like I always see. I mean, they have so much love, and it's well deserved. You know, Bellwitch is an institution here from the North. And Leah, obviously, we know your name is Leah. We just had you on the air recently, Northwest Hierophant.
Yeah, I'm
welcome
Leah,
back.
And I work with Adam and Zach on Hierophant, and I've also been able to hang out on Metal Shop because of my other project, Northwest Hierophant. And I mostly do administrative stuff, like organizational stuff, spreadsheet building, and keeping track of stuff, with a little bit of production management, tour management, and general booking and advancing type of stuff, and some adult male personality management activities as
yeah.
well.
That's a very generous move. Describing that.
Cue the cat scratch.
Therapist? Therapist? Therapist, yeah.
So, but yeah, we all kind of share all of those duties and,
yeah.
To a certain degree, because the way we kind of look at this operation is we look at it as more of a collective
yeah.
of people that all have, you know, the same status, mm-hmm. more or less, within the organization and are able to have a certain amount of autonomy to, you know, work on their own projects.
Absolutely.
That they feel will fit within the brand or fit within the mission statement, quote unquote, of what we've been doing, which, you know, the thing with this is it comes from essentially a very DIY sort of rooted
totally
methodology. We've all been involved in the DIY scene to some extent. I literally like started booking shows in a basement you could fit 30 people in Indiana.
Wow.
And you know, I did that for years and just kind of gradually expanded more and more into doing more higher production type shows.
Totally.
So yeah, I mean, it's all about essentially being collaborative, not only within the organization, but being collaborative with the folks that we're doing shows for or touring with and with the venues.
Yeah.
It's all supposed to have kind of more or less this rising tide lifts all boats sort of mission to it, where no one's trying to, you know, necessarily get any opportunistic gain over anybody else.
Sure.
We're all trying to make sure that, like, everybody's benefiting from the work that we're trying to do.
Awesome.
Within the not only the local scene, but also the more, you know, the larger, the scene at large.
That's great. I mean, obviously, you guys have been hard at work. I've also noticed that it's not just only metal music you guys have done. You know, I went and saw, was it Swordmaster? Was that the name?
Questmaster.
Yeah. Went and saw Questmaster, kind of, Dungeon Synth, yeah. You guys have done some dark wave EDM kind of shows. Mm-hmm. All kinds of stuff. Is there like a unifying principle as far as like, is it all just stuff you guys like, or is it just like, is it all just like underground music? Like, what's the thing that kind of, you know, is there anything where you're just like, no, that's too far outside of our realm, we're not going to go like that? Or
I would say the unifying thread is definitely would be considered, I guess it's hard to say what is really controversial or like, you know, I guess confrontational music, but I guess that would be kind of a unifying thread, some sort of like underground confrontational dark music.
Sure.
I'm not using the best adjectives here, but,
yeah,
you know,
subcultural
music that all has, you know, again, I would like to say that at least it has some sort of punk ethos,
yeah,
or that would be like a unifying, like, kind of,
totally,
you know, some sort of connection again to the DIY,
yeah,
underground. Obviously, we're not doing anything that's too pop or indie,
sure,
or too commercial. We're not really getting too far out into that territory.
Yeah, we don't have to move over Live Nation. Ira fans not coming for your bag, you know.
Yeah, for sure. So I would say that that's one of the unifying threads. Do you have any input on that?
I think there's just kind of a general aesthetic that kind of, it's really more intuitive than anything else. I think we'll kind of instinctually know if something is not really our cup of tea. But yeah, I mean, you know, generally around, I don't think being punk adjacent is a deal breaker for me specifically, but also the, you know, that's why we also handle different things. There's sort of like a Venn diagram with all of our sort of collective interests that, the center of which is kind of what we end up doing for the most part.
Cause we have also produced and worked on more avant-garde.
Yeah.
Noise.
Harsh noise type stuff.
Again, circling back to that whole idea of music that fundamentally we find is, you know, we would think is like confrontational
mm-hmm.
to a certain extent.
Just like sincerely kind of aggressive or like aggressive with a purpose that we appreciate, you know.
Awesome. Right.
Which can, you know, encompass goth or what have you also.
I mean, I think I primarily just agree. We kind of just have a sense of what feels like it makes sense for us and what doesn't. And I think that's also how we define our taste. So we're working on stuff that we like.
I wanted to add to that too. A lot of the stuff we do also somehow is related to folks that we know.
Yeah.
People that we've met during our time doing this in various capacity, either as touring musicians or promoting and booking in other areas, or, you know, with Leah's case, working on, you know, the fest.
Yeah.
Things like that. So I think that's a lot of it too, is again, just we try to stick within a certain community that we're already somewhat familiar with, you know, people that have been vetted, you know, people that we trust, people we, you know, we would like to, again, support what they're doing and
totally
that be a reciprocal thing. So that also kind of like informs our decision making.
And that's not necessarily like an insular thing by any means. I think that community that he's talking about is something that kind of organically develops among people with, you know, mutual interests and styles and ways of going about things.
For sure.
So, you know, there are people who we might not specifically know, but, you know, they know people we know, yeah. And they kind of do things the way we do them, and so they're welcome, you know what I mean?
There's a bit of the family tree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
that's
yeah.
awesome. I also love that, and we're going to get into some of the shows that we have on the calendar here for Hierophant Booking. Again, we're talking with the team from Hierophant Booking, and you can check out everything at hierophantbooking.com, and you're listening to Metal Shop, by the way. They have been branching out outside of Seattle. You guys did some stuff in Real Art in Tacoma, which is an awesome all-ages place. Yeah, you guys are going to be doing the Charleston in Bremerton. You guys do some stuff over at the Black Lodge, Clockout Lounge, do some stuff over at Central Saloon. Jules Mays, are these places that reach out to you, or do you guys kind of just find these venues and you're like, a cool show would do really well here? How do you guys pick your venues?
So kind of how this originally started was our relationship with Clockout.
Yeah.
Because I work there.
Yeah.
And...
Shout out to Jody.
Yeah, you know, she's great. Love Jody. And
yeah.
I would think that maybe up to that point, there wasn't quite as much metal happening there.
Yeah.
And I would attribute that to we had the Highline,
yep.
which
was
the Highline. Yeah.
RIP.
There's that connection
yeah.
as well.
Yeah, Dylan was the owner, and, you know, yeah. it was all incestuous, but yeah.
So, you know, with the unfortunate closing of the Highline over the lockdown, that kind of left like a what I thought was like a vacuum, essentially, of that lack of central hub.
Mm-hmm.
And since I already had that connection to Clockout, and I thought it was a great room, the first show that we worked on was Cerebral Rot, Miasmatic Necrosis,
yeah,
and Caustic Wound. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I think this room would be great for that.
Yeah.
And so that was our first show, and it just kind of kicked things off from there. So we just continued that relationship with Jody and Clockout as far as using her quite often, using
yeah.
That facility. Because, yeah, like, so there was that. And then just from there on, we kind of branched out to finding other venues that we felt would work better for more specific shows. Because not every show can go into Clockout.
Yeah.
So it was just a matter of networking. And finding, like, well, this show would work better in this room, and this, and then it just kind of expanded more and more regionally to other places, either venues we'd been before, or again, word of mouth. Like,
yeah.
Oh, this is a good place to work at.
Yeah, we you know, we would try out a lot of spots. I mean, like, Jules Mays, I think, was sort of a happy experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Where we're like, oh, this is actually a great room that's, I think, frankly, kind of underutilized for metal shows.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, a smaller room, so we ended up putting quite a few things there. But I lost my train of thought, I'm sorry.
Oh, you were just talking about different venues.
Yeah, so that's just how it happened. Yeah.
Awesome.
It was just basically, so we would either see shows or play some of these other places, or just through word of mouth, like, you know, if they were reputable rooms. Also, it's like we tried to like keep everything kind of more or less central or south side
total
to Seattle, because, you know, that's where we kind of live or near. Leah lives in Portland now.
Yeah, but
deep south Seattle.
Yeah, she's so south. It's outside,
yeah,
it's outside of the state. So, so that was also why it was actually, you know, it was a logistical choice.
Yeah,
as well, to kind of keep things concentrated in a certain area. But again, it just expanded more and more because, you know, we would get hit up by bands that needed help with other shows outside of the area. And then, so, you know, we'd hear about, like, the Charleston.
Yep.
And then, yeah, we kind of started, you know, developing relationships with promoters in Portland and you know, up in Vancouver and so on. And so it's, you know, like you mentioned about this being sort of a collective thing. Those people seem kind of like extensions of the collective mentality, where it's like we're all kind of helping each other out to kind of really, you know, get the band situated in the best possible place they can be,
and to help venues that we like thrive.
Yeah,
we totally think are doing a good job, and, you know, are also affordable.
Totally,
that's also a big thing. You know, it's like we try to find rooms that are, like, you know, affordable, and then we'll treat the bands right, so we can maximize the experience for the bands.
Totally.
Things like that.
Yeah, that's really ultimately, I think, one of the big motivating factors about all of this is, is this idea that, you know, these bands and these acts that are coming through, especially if they're, you know, friends of ours or friends of friends, we want to make sure they actually have, like, a good experience coming through the area, and they go to, like, the right room, they get the right hospitality. They're not just, you know, being set up with some random club that's going to, you know, not really give them anything or not really do
not
much for them.
Not be invested in that band's actual success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so, yeah.
That's awesome. So let's mention some of the shows here. And so we have, again, you can check all of them at hierophantbooking.com. But coming up in, let's see, the closest one is July 12th at the Clockout Lounge, which, by the way, if you are listening now and you haven't been to the Clockout, you got to check this venue out. Not only do you, can you park very, very close by.
Plus, also.
Yes, you can park. Amazing pizza. Great sound, and it just feels like old Seattle to me. Mm-hmm. It's great. Yeah. We got Necrot, Phobophilic, Street Tombs, and Witch Vomit, and that's going to be Friday, July 12th. That new Necrot record is absolutely killer. We coming up July 27th, A Cloud Rat is playing at the Clockout Lounge with
Black Lodge.
Yeah. At the Black Lodge, which is an awesome all-ages venue, which is down by REI in Seattle. If you're familiar with El Corazon, it's just down the street from there, with Flesh Produce, Membrane from Bellingham, and Baring Teeth. Nox Novacula, incredible band, kind of post-punk goth band, playing July 31st at the Central Saloon for their record release show with Boot Blacks and Lizard Skin. A couple more here. We have Spectral Voice from Colorado playing with Tongue Depressor, Spirit Possession. That's September 13th at Clockout and 15th at Charleston. And then for the October 30th, day before Halloween, you going to tell people to dress up?
People absolutely.
Okay,
they can
awesome.
Do whatever they want.
Absolutely.
All right.
Come out and be absolute maniacs.
October 30th at Clockout Lounge, Caustic Wound, Miasmatic Necrosis, and to me, the band that stole the show at Northwest Terror Fest, Undergang. So awesome.
They're great.
From Copenhagen, Denmark. But yeah, so as far as that goes, man, you guys have a really packed calendar. You guys, I'm assuming all of you have like full time jobs outside of this. How long? How many hours? You know, putting all this together, it must be a real labor of love, y'all.
I think Zach and I both have like day gigs, and so are at our laptops and kind of available to work on stuff in
cool.
the kind of 9-to-5 zone, and then obviously are wasting our time on it outside of work as well. which is kind of nice to, it's nice for me that I already have designated desk hours and blowing off my job, I can do something fun that has to do with guitar music. So I think we probably end up, I don't know, I spend not that many hours a week, 5 to 10 probably on stuff. But the, you know, going back to like the collaborative nature of our approach to doing this, we are talking to one another incessantly about what to do about things and what kind of decisions we want to make, delegating specific tasks on shows to one another, and it is, I think, a lot.
Yeah. A lot of work. I personally would never publicly admit to blowing off my day job for anything whatsoever, but I will say it is its own part-time job on its own.
Fair enough. So Adam, for you, I'm not sure if everyone does this, but you book tours, right? So this is another outlet of Hierophant, and that's a recent thing?
Yeah, more or less. We started doing it last year.
Cool.
The first year that we started doing this, I had already started generating plans to expand the operation into doing touring and tour services. Since then, Leah and Zach have also, in their own ways, have worked on doing tours.
That's awesome.
Leah actually took the helm mostly on the Panopticon tour.
Awesome.
Coming up. And Zach has a tour coming up.
Not announced yet, but...
Not announced in the fall.
Yeah,
cool.
November.
So, but yeah, I kind of like took the lead in a lot of ways with that. Because I don't know.
Adam has more connections outside of our general market.
Cool.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to the East Coast.
Mm.
I'm originally from the Midwest.
Yeah.
I'm from Indiana. I've lived here for a decade.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What brought you out here, by the way?
Well, have you been to Indiana?
I actually haven't.
That aside, like, I actually, my connection to where I'm from, you know, there's no animosity there.
Sure.
But also, it was definitely an upward move for me in the sense that Indiana, it's just one of those places where if you want to do what we're doing here, there is a shelf life to it that's very limited. Hmm. Because generally, Indiana is very, it's a conservative state,
yeah,
by and large, pretty insular, any music scene there. It doesn't really leave the boundaries of the state very much because bands, there's a great scene there. A lot of good bands that have come from there, but they don't leave the state.
Sure.
And so it doesn't get marketed.
Yeah.
That you should come here, you know? And so what happens is if you're somebody that wants to keep playing music and be, you know, an idiot.
Yeah.
You got to move to places where
there's more
idiots, yeah, and they're doing it longer.
Yeah.
They're lifers. And, you know, that's kind of how I am. I'm kind of like, yeah, I'm a lifer. I'm going to keep playing in bands, keep touring.
Whatever. Working at venues.
Right.
Yep, all that stuff.
Yeah. And so that was part of the choice. It was also because I think genuinely this part of the country is the most beautiful part of the country.
Yeah.
And I also hate summer. By and large, I hate hot, humid summers, and
yeah,
the Midwest is notorious for having weather extremes like that. And so it just kind of checked a lot of boxes for me. I already had, like, friends out here that could make it an easy transition because I was originally either going to move here or Oakland.
Yeah.
And I just made the choice to move here.
Nice.
Yeah. And so that was basically why. It was just for me to, you know, be able to just keep doing the thing that I enjoy and feel like I would have some longevity to it. And
that's
awesome. I have.
Yeah, absolutely.
Better or worse.
So you brought up the word lifer, and I was recently interviewing Chase from Gatecreeper, and we were talking about that term, lifer. And, you know, he was like, well, I've kind of just reached a point now where I realize, you know, I'm just going to keep doing this thing. And it's really cool to kind of accept that about yourself and embrace it and just be like, I'm going to lean into this and just do it. Is there a certain point, where you look back and you go, okay, this is where I decided, you know? Is it just like when you joined a band? Was it when you went on tour? Was it when you got into – is there an age where people have to, you know, accept that they're lifers? You know, what's that definition for you guys? What do you think?
I will say, like, for one, this is kind of part of the reason why I got back into – because I took a long break from booking and promoting shows.
Really?
I was a promoter for years in the Midwest.
Yeah.
And then when I moved out here, I was kind of like, okay, I'm putting that, you know,
yeah,
part of me behind, and I'm going to focus on other things. And also because we had the Highline and stuff,
yeah,
like that, I was like, you know what? They're doing their own,
yeah,
you know, fine job. They don't need me getting in the mix. I'll just, you know, help wherever I can.
Yeah.
And so that was the thing. And when that kind of vacuum was opened up, it made sense that both Dylan and I would pair up to try and fill that void. And then, you know, we should also mention that, like, we work a lot with Freiburger.
Yeah.
Freiburger was
Satanic Royalty.
Doing,
yep,
his thing too. So that mutually beneficial sort of partnership to kind of, you know, get him on board with what we were doing and all that. So, tying this into the lifer thing, because that was kind of one of those realizations where I had around life. It's like, what else am I going to do?
Yeah.
I've been doing this for so long.
Yeah.
You know, I went to school for design and art.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's been times where I wanted to pivot occupationally and just do something completely different. But, you know, as the quote goes,
yeah,
just pull me back in.
Yeah.
So, and that's kind of, you know, but I started playing music when I was like 11. I went on my first
tour
when I was 18.
What was the band called?
tell the story about the tour.
Okay, let's hear it.
The first tour I went on was with a band called the Electric Hellfire Club.
I've seen that. I remember that name from Revolver magazine.
Yeah, they were a Cleopatra band. If anybody remembers Cleopatra Records,
yes,
they were one of like the they were one of their flagship bands. Actually.
Okay,
and the band was formed by Thomas Thorne, who was a founding member of My Life with a Thrill Kill Cult.
Yes, my girlfriend's super into that band.
Yeah, so it's a whole crazy story why I ever like joined this band. It was completely...
You have to say who the tour was with.
Okay, well, it made no sense for somebody my age and my background to join this band, but like I was very young. I was like right out of high school. And it was, the tour was with Typo Negative.
Wow.
And Coal Chamber.
Wow.
And Electric Hellfire Club was the opening act.
That is cool.
To add even more crazy layers of this, I had never played guitar on stage before.
Wow.
This tour was the first time I ever played guitar live.
Wow.
Because every band I was in up to that point that I wanted to be in, I was a vocalist. I wanted to be a vocalist. I didn't want to play guitar in
sure.
bands. And then, by default, I became a guitar player because I'd be in bands with people that only knew how to play cover songs, and I wanted to play originals, or they'd play, like, whack cover songs.
Sure.
Like Green Day or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, let's work on some Black Flag songs. Like, let's work on some Misfit songs.
Yeah.
And so I just gradually became more of a guitar player. And anyways, the whole circumstance of how I even got introduced to Hellfire Club is crazy in itself, and I'm not going to go into it. But I joined this band because there was a guy I knew that was friends with them. He was basically like, well, I know this kid that can play guitar pretty well,
okay.
and you guys need a guitarist, so here he is.
Oh, first tour, Typo Negative, Coal Chamber? Let's
yeah.
go.
First tour.
Wow.
Super green, super inexperienced, and yeah. That was my first tour.
I've heard, so I listened to Jamie Josser from Hatebreed's podcast, and he talks about all the crazy stories. They would tour with Typo Negative several times.
Mm.
They would talk about having these kind of sex parties out after the show with tons of wine and, can you confirm?
So, because I was so young and I was like in the opening band, I was like literally the lowest guy on
sure.
the totem pole
yep.
in a lot
yep.
of ways. And also, I must note that, like, I've been sober, like, most of my life.
Yeah.
I don't say straight edge because I don't claim straight edge.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't drink or do drugs, really.
I'm sober as well. So,
yeah. So I've never really been a partier. So I've always kind of recused myself
sure.
of that kind of activity as well. So the closest I ever came to anything like that was, it was Halloween night in Philadelphia, and we did a show at the Trocadero.
Yeah.
And I walked in on Pete Steele doing coke with a bunch of groupies.
Cool.
And I just like walked into the green room. And
Pete
I was
Steele
like,
doing Pete Steele things.
Yeah, and I just did this like, oh, sorry.
Yeah.
And like walked out.
All right.
So yeah, no sex party, no sex drug parties for me.
No,
on
but,
that tour. So,
yeah.
But yes, I mean, that's something for sure that I absolutely can confirm happened. I will say this story. And this will involve, like, some sort of, like, you know, vulgarity. So you might have to bleep it out. But there's one distinct interaction I had with Dez from Coal Chamber.
Yeah. Backstage. And Devil Driver,
and
can't
Devil
forget.
Devil Driver, bro. But he was describing backstage, basically, how much he was getting laid. And he said something akin to, like, my dick is like Baskin Robbins. I have, like, 31 different flavors of pussy on it right now. Something like that.
I want to get checked. All right.
So I remember that also as well. I also remember Reyna from Cold Chain was very sweet.
Yeah.
Because I felt very, like, being so young and just inexperienced, I felt very, like, weird.
Yeah.
And I remember her being very, like, nice and very, like, you know, supportive.
Totally.
Like that. So, yeah. So, anyways, that was my first tour.
Nick from 3 Inches of Blood was talking about how when they went on tour with Typo Negative, some of the members from Typo Negative were huge Kiss fans, and he's
yeah.
a huge Kiss fan.
Yeah.
And so they would, after the shows, they would have what he called Kiss Club, where they would just put up Kiss banners and just listen to Kiss all night and just drink beer. And yeah. if anyone came in and was like, oh, I don't like Kiss, they'd be like, get the f*** out, this yeah. is Kiss Club.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. Yeah, well, and that was the thing. I was a huge Typo fan before the tour. I had met Pete
yeah.
a couple times
that's awesome.
when I was even younger.
Wow.
Like one of those things where, like, I remember one time we went to see Pantera when they were on tour with Type O Negative, and my whole group of like high school friends were like, let's go meet the band. And we all went behind the auditorium they played to the tour buses, and Pete came out
of the bus
and like hung out with like these 15-year-olds.
That's awesome.
And like I just punished him about like his like bass tone.
Yeah.
And I was just like, wow, how do you get that crazy bass tone? He's like, oh, I just run a bunch of like boss pedals through like my signal.
That's so awesome.
And I was like, oh wow, you're the coolest dude.
And he had time for you guys. Yeah, he made like, time for you guys. That's really
like,
cool.
My interactions with him, he was a very like down to earth, sweet guy.
That's awesome.
Like despite, I know like he's a controversial figure to some people, but like he seemed like he was a genuinely nice, good guy, and like was like down to just hang out and like be cool. Like I never had like a bad interaction with him.
Nice.
So, anyways.
Well, back to the Hierophant booking stuff. That was great stories, though, man. I love that. I mean, so when I say, like, favorite Hierophant booking, you know, experiences, shows, what's something that comes to mind for you, like, of just, like, some of your favorite shows you booked, maybe sets that have really stood out? And Zach, let's start with you, man.
Over the years. Well, honestly, I mean, there was kind of a tumultuous ride to getting there, but we did Ulcerate at the
Substation. Oh yeah, that was awesome
last year, and that show ended up having to get moved venues and moved cities. It was a whole nightmare logistically to set up, but when we actually got it up and running, they were terrific. It was like such a satisfying experience to see, and the show did amazingly. So that's up there for me as the first thing that I thought of. What about you guys?
Yeah, I was going to confirm that. Like that was mostly Leah and Zach's project.
Sure,
and they did a phenomenal job of.
And Ulcerate's from New Zealand, right?
Right.
Yeah,
and we ended up establishing a further relationship with the opening act, Alters. We ended up booking their tour.
They're great.
The MDF because of that event.
Yeah.
And so that was, it was fruitful for many reasons, but it was so close to tanking.
Not happening. Yeah.
Like, they had to keep like, back and like doing different logistical things to salvage it. And so the fact that like it became such a success despite all that, it really, it buoyed me to see that like, oh, we had a really cool thing going on here.
It was originally going to go down at Alma Mater, which not a thing anymore. RIP to that Tacoma venue. So
they ended up closing, and if we don't want to tell the story, you can cut it out. But the reason we found out about them closing through their email newsletter. Their staff declined to inform us that this was happening.
Yeah. So I would say for me, I think just because it's kind of fresh in my memory, I feel like the most recent pre-show we did for Northwest Airfest.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Relationship that we've established over the past couple of years was doing that. I really, because it was the curation of bands personally for me was very important because they were all bands that like I thought represented unique aspects of a single spectrum of death metal essentially, but like we're all individually very like distinct.
Do you want to say who it was?
Yeah, I'll say. But I was just going to say also, they're all like comprised of people that we're friends with too.
Awesome.
So it was like kind of good friends and cool bands. But it was Ossuary, Street Tombs, Aberration, Funeral Chant, and Porphyrion.
Yeah.
And am I missing one?
No, you got them all.
Okay, got them all. So to me, I really like, I felt really good about that night and it was really special.
Awesome.
Everybody was stoked on every band and. Just the conversation.
Good way to kick it off the fest, too. Yeah.
The conversations we were having with everybody was just like, this is so awesome. And it's just like, this was very well put together. And
that's awesome.
It went off very well. There was no issues or anything like that. So that was one for me.
Awesome. And how about you?
Leah? I was going to talk about, we did a Witch Vomit show in Olympia.
That was
going to
be
April.
My second pick.
Yeah. So Zach. It was his show primarily because I recuse myself because I tour manage Witch Vomit.
Ah.
Which is.
Conflict of interest, maybe.
An awesome death metal band from Portland that's on $20. And that one was really fun for me because I was like kind of wearing two hats a little bit.
Totally.
Like, being on the booking side and being on the band side of things is really fun and makes me feel like my dreams are coming true, and it was a really good show.
Awesome.
Yeah, that one exceeded all expectations for me. I was so happy.
And it was, you know, tour kickoff for us, so we were on our way out for 2.5 weeks, which is a really good feeling, too. So it was a good night.
I did want to add one
thing
that I was thinking of also. Of course. You know, I talked about, like, the kind of, for me at least, the punk origins, mm-hmm. DIY origins of this. And even though it's, like, not necessarily, like, waters we dip into a lot for a variety of reasons that I won't get into, I personally love that music and feel very, you know, like, it's got a certain sort of, like, attachment for me. But we booked this band, Sadist.
Okay.
From Boston.
Yeah.
Early last year. It was, like, one of the first shows it was the first show we did last year.
Yeah.
After we had done, like, 4 shows for our first year, and it was in so many ways such a perfect night for me. We did it at Lucky Liquor, and it was a noise act from here open called Xiphoid Dementia.
Cool.
So there was that to kind of kick things off.
Yeah.
And then there was Lexicon, who are a punk band from here.
Awesome.
And then Sadists, who are one of the best live punk bands I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, just crazy. They turn off all the lights and they have like a strobe light on, and the singer wears this crazy mask and swings a chain around.
Okay.
And it was one of those things where it got me back in touch with, you know, being like a kid that went to punk shows and it feeling dangerous.
Totally.
And feeling like anything could happen. This could completely go off the rails.
Yes. But
like, I love it. And it was a packed house because it was like 200 people at Lucky Liquor.
Wow.
You know, so.
That is.
So that was like another one for me that was very cool, like that I really will never forget. So.
That's awesome. Okay, so I was curious about, there's a lot of young bands that listen to this show, musicians, and they're probably oftentimes looking for shows. How do you get on the radar of Hierophant booking or, you know, get noticed?
There's a contact form on the website. We read and respond to. Well, Adam reads and responds to everything that goes through there. So
awesome!
If you email us, we will see it.
Cool.
And we do generally try to like respond to all emails.
Awesome.
There is one thing also that I try to stress is we try to be very good about communication.
Yeah.
Not just internally, but externally. You know, even if it's not our thing and it's not a right fit, I still want to make sure that people know that we're giving them some sort of time of day.
Yeah.
Now, we were just having this conversation about how to like deal with our inbox. There are certain circumstances where I feel like people just they go beyond the pale of what would be just protocol interacting with anybody, any sort of organization or business or person, where if you are nagging us, big no-no.
Yeah.
you know, like...
There's a way to,
be
like,
sensible.
Go about these kinds of
right.
communications. Like, be polite and friendly and send links to your stuff.
Right.
Like, have stuff for us to look at.
That's a big thing that happens a lot is we will get, like, especially very young bands, they'll be like, hey, can you put us on your shows? And that's it.
And there's no material.
Like, what band? What?
Yeah. Or anything, and it's like, definitely we can't do that.
Yeah. We have like, no idea who you are. We don't know what you sound like. You know, you have to have some sort of...
Send your link, send your website, send your social media,
right.
stuff like that. Sounds
and,
good.
Like, we... Finding good local support is definitely something that requires resources from us or whatever. So adding to that roster of things that make sense for local support is good
mm-hmm.
when they come to us.
Yeah,
it
I'm all...
It has to be ready.
Right, and I'm always excited to find new bands or bands that I wasn't aware of
totally.
That, like, will hit us up, and I'm like, wow, this band's sick. So now
yeah.
we've got another good band that we can put on shows, especially, again, younger bands, because
yeah.
we do try to accommodate doing all-ages shows when we can,
yep.
and it goes back to that whole DIY thing, because for me, and I'm sure these two can agree, we understand that a scene can't thrive unless there's new young bands being formed.
Oh, yeah.
It can't be the same circle jerk of dudes, you know,
yep.
just forming, like, the same iterations of bands over and over.
Yep.
And, you know, again, that's fine. A lot of those bands are usually rad if it's, like, the same kind of group of dudes.
Sure.
They're experienced, they know the formula, they know what to do, they have the connections, etc. But in order to keep regenerating the scene.
The new blood.
Yeah, you got to have, like, cool new bands that are coming out of, like, you know, the younger scene. And
yep.
So I'm always, like, happy to be able to accommodate a band that's wanting to do a show that we're doing that we think fits.
We're going to go over the concert calendar again one more time. But before we do that and we play some Necrot, favorite Northwest bands of all time? Just, and it could be metal, not metal. It could be any kind of genre. It could be old school, new school, whatever. Leah, let's start with you this time. Favorite Northwest band of all time?
I'm just going to keep it, like, very classic. And I have lived here almost my entire life up until recently. And I'm just going to say Mudhoney and move on.
Okay, nice.
And that's a good choice. Why don't you
pick?
Okay. Well, because I'm going to think about it some more. And I'm not originally from here, too.
Sure.
You know.
So the I think maybe like cool hip underground choice for me to go with would probably be Infestor, which is an old, you know, old death metal band that did one record. They're terrific. But I'm actually going to say Queensryche.
Okay, nice. Yeah. Bellevue's favorite sons. Yeah. Yes.
Operation Mindcrime. Terrific.
Incredible. Did you go to that tour they just did where they played only old school stuff?
No, I missed that one, but I did see them with Priest a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah, dude.
And they closed with Eyes of a Stranger, and I was like, oh, man. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. So I know, like, I'm going to not pick the right one. I'm going to think later, okay, I should have picked them. My first choice, I have to pick two, but my first choice is going to be off the top of my head, Metal Church.
Great.
Probably Metal Church.
Yes.
But because I have to pick like a punk band. Poison Idea.
Yeah. Great band.
Probably. Absolutely. You know. So just to give a little.
What if there was a band that mixed Poison Idea and Metal Church together?
I mean.
Poison Church.
Poison Church.
Metal Idea.
Metal Idea.
Metal Idea. I feel like, again, within the right hands, capable hands, that would be a sick formula.
That would be sick.
Yeah.
Punk metal.
That's the thing, though. I mean, you know, Poison Idea, they were also metal, dude.
Yeah.
You know, they were into metal, so.
How crazy is it that freaking Pantera covered the Badge on the Crow soundtrack, the Poison Idea songs?
I mean, it introduced a lot of people to
Poison
Idea. I mean, that soundtrack introduced me to Joy Division.
Oh, really?
Because of the Nine Inch Nails cover of Dead Souls.
You excited for the release of The Crow, the new version?
No, absolutely not.
That's a sore subject for my girlfriend.
I don't know anyone who's excited
for
that.
I don't
know. SoundCloud rap Crow?
Maybe. Yeah.
What was that?
No, I was going to say, I mean, let's be truthful. As much as like I have sentimental attachment to it, and the soundtrack's amazing.
Yeah.
The original one's not that good either, you know?
The best part is the Cure song.
Yeah, so.
Let's go over the calendar one more time. We got July 27th at the, and this is at the, what's the name of it? The Black Lodge. I'll just restart this. July 27th at the Black Lodge, all ages venue with Cloud Rat and with Flesh Produce, Membrane from Bellingham, Baring Teeth. We got Nox Novacula's record release show July 31st at Central Saloon with Boot Black's Lizard Skin. Coming up October 30th at the Clockout Lounge, Undergang with Miasmatic Necrosis, Caustic Wound. September 13th at Clockout Lounge, Spectral Voice, Tongue Depressor, Spirit Possession. The 15th, take the ferry over to Bremerton to see the Charleston, and we're going to end things here with some Necrot. So, Friday, July 12th at Clockout, Necrot, Phobophilic, Street Tombs, and Witch Vomit. Before we jump into the song, anyone you want to shout out, any thank yous, anything you want to say on the radio?
I do want to know, with a Necrot show, it probably will sell out.
Okay.
It's very close. Good to selling out. So if
get your tickets if
you're
can.
To go, you better get on it.
Get your tickets
because it will most definitely, probably, sell out.
Absolutely sell out. Awesome. Any final words, y'all?
I'll say I just want to point out that the Spectral Voice show on September 15th in Bremerton is the all ages Spectral Voice show.
Killer.
So, love to have the young folks pull up on us out there. Also, a good idea to double feature that one. We don't know when we'll get Spectral Voice again. And I'll do like shouts out, thanks, etc. to everybody that helps us with Northwest Terror Fest and everybody that helps us do any of the gigs that we do for Hierophant. It is not a good way to make money or
what do you mean? You're not rich?
Less anxious, but it is a good way to feel in community with like-minded people, and it's really cool.
Awesome. Any final words, Zach?
Shout out to Marina and Cherie. And honestly, Leah, thank you for all of your hard work.
Thank you.
Like, we could not have done this without you.
You guys are so cool.
No thanks to Hank Amarillo over here, whatever it was.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. I didn't give my real name, Hank Amarillo.
Oh.
My DJ name.
Okay,
Hank
nice.
Amarillo.
Hank Amarillo.
I think it officially takes three to tango in this scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any final words from you?
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah.
Really appreciate this slot.
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely. Yeah.
Long live Metal Shop.
Long live Metal Shop. And long live Necrot. Again, they're going to be playing July 12th at the Clockout with Phobophilic, Street Tombs, and Witch Vomit. And again, that's July 12th at Clockout Lounge. You can get some parking. You can get some pizza. Say what's up to the whole crew and tell the guys at the people. Sorry, I need to be all inclusive. The individuals, the humans.
The female dude.
The female dude.
Hot gig boy.
Involved yeah, with
we're
the Hierophant.
Hot gig boys of different genders.
The female man.
Tell him you said hi.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.